Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow that Mustang down. Mustang Sally, my baby. Guess you better slow that Mustang down. You've been riding all over town. Oh, I guess I gotta put your flat feet on the ground.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Little Mustang Sally for you this morning. Welcome to the Monday edition of Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am yours truly, Paul Molloy. And boy, we got a lot on the menu for you this morning. Helen Thomas is really taking the pipe for her comments about Israel. People howling for her head right now. And our question is it fair? And are her comments that the Jews should go back to Poland, Germany, America, or wherever they came from, is that fair? We're going to talk about that, along with the ongoing illegal immigration problem in Arizona. We're going to talk with Matt Mayer, resident fellow at the Heritage Foundation and an expert on homeland security, on whether or not those borders down in Arizona should be sealed. Also, the Gulf oil spill, we'll give you the latest on that, and a lot more. Meantime, this is Tampa Bay's only ongoing libertarian radio show, Freedom Works. We are here to champion the concept of less federal government. Less federal government in your life, not more, but more importantly for you, personal freedom, more personal freedom, and more personal responsibility. So that's what we're all about. And we come to you Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Network. Also, we are available worldwide from our website, thefreedomworks.com, thefreedomworks.com. Please go there, find out more about the show, more about the libertarian concept. Find out if you're a libertarian. If you like our program, we ask that you consider contributing to the program, which you can do from the website, thefreedomworks.com. And if you want to call us during the course of the show, our toll-free number, 866-826-1340, 866-826-1340. You want to email us, you can do that. FreedomWorks email at yahoo.com. FreedomWorks email at yahoo.com. Well, there is a sense of real urgency, I can tell you, here in Florida and in other parts of the Gulf Coast, as that oil spill has not completely been stemmed. A wellhead cap at the bottom of the Gulf slowly pinching off a geyser of oil spewing from the earth, but there's no containing much of the crude that's already escaped. A reality becoming increasingly evident in the region's beaches. Even little tar balls starting to pop up in certain areas around Tampa Bay. The battle to contain the oil likely to stretch into the fall now, as the government's point man on the spill warns that we're just not going to be able to completely cap off that leak for a while. The cap traps only so much of the oil, and relief wells being drilled will not be completed until August. So what's going to happen? Well, there is a press conference that's currently being held right now. We'll get a little bit more information on some of the things that they are saying as we proceed with our program. Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen is holding that press briefing. But you've seen the pictures of the wildlife, very, very sad, coated in oil. And the question now is whether, quite frankly, whether the CEO of British Petroleum, and in fact whether British Petroleum itself, after all is said and done, is going to continue to survive. Meantime, speaking about Tony Hayward, the chief executive officer of BP, he said yesterday that he will not resign. and he predicted that the company will recover from the disaster. He told BBC Television's Andrew Marr show he would not quit, and he had the, quote, absolute intention of seeing this through to the end, unquote. Says, we're going to stop the leak. We're going to clean up the oil. We're going to remediate any environmental damage, and we're going to return the Gulf Coast to the position it was prior to this event. He says, that's an absolute commitment. We will be there long after the media has gone, making good on our promise. I wonder if he will be there long after the media is gone talking about this. He said a containment cap placed on the blown-out well had collected about 10,000 barrels of oil over the last 24 hours. Again, he said this yesterday. And he said that he hoped a second containment system will be in place by next weekend. He said the spill itself, a 1 in 100,000 to 1 in a million occurrence. Well, I think in the long run, we're going to find that there will be more of a call for on-land drilling in places like Alaska, possibly in the Rocky Mountain areas. And frankly, there will be more of a call for local offshore drilling. Why? Because it is safer. Because we can monitor that kind of work and proceed to stop any problems a lot quicker than we can a mile down in the ocean. And that is the truth. BP is out there drilling a mile down in the Gulf because, frankly, that's where they have been allowed to drill by the government. If they could drill in an easier, safer place, they would. It would cost them less. They would have less chance of having problems. That's common sense. So these people that call in and scream about environmental damage and we should not be drilling, yeah, we should not be drilling a mile down. And to be calling for the end of oil drilling in the United States or in Alaska, what happens then? Well, what do you think? If we're not producing the oil, we're buying it from somebody else. If we're buying it from somebody else, it's going to cost us more, right? We don't have the answer to replace oil. Everyone going to get out of their cars and walk to work? You know, we got to be a little bit more, honest with ourselves. So in the long run, I wonder if this indeed will not lead to a demand for more onshore drilling and local offshore drilling. Anyway, let's do this. We are going to talk with Matt Mayer from the Heritage Foundation in just a moment. We're going to talk about the ongoing illegal immigration problem. So we'll take our short break right now, and please don't go away. We'll be back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, we offer an exciting, independent lifestyle. It's the perfect combination of freedom, comfort, and security. Enjoy total independence with peace of mind. Our independent lifestyle includes chef-prepared meals in our beautiful waterfront dining room, a continental breakfast, all utilities, including cable and telephone, housekeeping with linen service, scheduled transportation, including trips to shopping, restaurants, local theater, and so much more. Our activities program is second to none. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy an on-site wellness program, rehabilitation clinic, and home health services. We have security 24 hours a day, and each apartment is equipped with an emergency call response system, answered in-house by our caring, compassionate staff. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy affordable luxury retirement living, all with a million-dollar view of beautiful Clearwater Bay. Call us today at 727-445-4069 and let us welcome you to gracious retirement living, where caring, compassionate service makes the difference.
Hey, Hey, we're glad you're listening to Freedom Works. And if you like what you're hearing, there's something you can do to help keep us on the air. You can visit our website at thefreedomworks.com and make a contribution, anything from $20 on up, and it'll go directly to our program and our efforts to get out the libertarian message of less government in our lives and more personal freedom and responsibility. And while you're there at the website, you can find out more about libertarianism. You can also take a very short quiz to see where you fit in on the political spectrum. And you can find out more about people that have stood for libertarian principles like Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand. But please consider backing our show with a contribution. We even make it easy for you with a credit or debit card. And once again, that's thefreedomworks.com. And by the way, thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Ken from Dining Out Radio. Are you tired of going to the same old restaurants? Why not listen to Dining Out Radio and we'll tell you some of the best restaurants in the Tampa Bay area. We'll have chefs on talking about their favorite dishes. We'll have wine people on talking about the greatest wines. We'll have a lot of guests on there and we might even throw in a couple other surprises. Heard every Wednesday, 1 to 2 p.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network. You can go to our website, diningoutradio.com. Dining Out Radio brought to you by Watercolors Steakhouse and Grill.
Tampa Bay's Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. Thank you so much for being with us. And we want to introduce a gentleman by the name of Matt Mayer from the Great Heritage Foundation in Washington. And we've asked Matt to join us. He is a resident fellow at the Heritage Foundation and an expert on homeland security. And we want to talk this morning a little bit about the ongoing issue of illegal immigration, specifically with the Arizona immigration law. And now I'm reading that this illegal immigration issue is not just affecting Arizona. There are governors all over the place that are talking about it. For instance, in Iowa, in their gubernatorial race, all three Republican candidates taking a stance on it. So this is the kind of thing that is not beholden just to Arizona. And, of course, here in Florida, we're very concerned about it as well. Matt, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure, Matt. And first of all, wanted to get the perspective of the Heritage Foundation on this whole issue. I mean, on the one hand, we do a libertarian radio show here, and we certainly value the rights of people and the freedom to come and go, but you have to balance that against security of our country. And we've got some 12 to maybe 14 million illegal immigrants in our country right now. So I guess my question to you, Matt, as you look at all of this going on, does the United States have a right to go down, seal our borders, and stop people from crossing over illegally?
Well, not only do we have a right, it's frankly an obligation. I mean, the core job in the Constitution, expressly written there, of the federal government is to essentially secure our borders, and they're not doing it and have not done it in decades. And it didn't matter, I suppose, when it was only a handful of migrant workers coming across the border, but it matters today when it's not a handful, it's millions, and it's not just migrant workers, it's potentially terrorists that are slipping through that unsecure border as well. So this is a matter of national security, and it's a matter of economic security. I mean, there are millions of unemployed Americans that are being kicked out of jobs or underbid in jobs by illegal labor. And so we've got to make sure we're doing all we can to keep our country secure, both economically as well as in a national security standpoint.
There was I guess you could call it a counter demonstration in Arizona over the weekend, several thousand people rallying. Of course, it doesn't get as much play, I guess,
as the
other demonstration against that new illegal immigration law. And, of course, the governor of Arizona is becoming a rather well-known figure. But the surveys continue to show that the majority of people in this country apparently seem to think we ought to be closing those borders and then worrying about what to do with these immigrants. Is the public relations battle, is that being won by the people that support the Arizona immigration law, do you think?
I think it's being won by common sense. I mean, and let me explain. I mean, the reality is, I think most Americans step back and say, look, you got to secure our border. It's not secure. For Governor, former Governor Janet Napolitano and now Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano to claim with a straight face that the border is more secure than ever, as there are ranchers being killed, property being violated, other people being killed in terms of whether it's the drug trade or it's the coyotes bringing across migrants, that border is anything but secure. And so I think most Americans say, you got to secure the border. You got to enforce the laws that are on the books to secure the interior. Once they get across that border, you got to do more to secure the interior part and enforce the laws that are on the books on getting these folks rounded up and deporting them. And then I think a lot of folks also take the common sense approaches, and we've got to reform our visa system so that we have the right avenues for legal migrants to come here and fulfill both at the high and low end the jobs that are needed where Americans can't do those. And I think once that happens, Americans will, I think, then, in a common sense way, say, all right, now what do we, who's left and what do we do with those folks? And to do anything before that is just simply premature.
Sure. Is it true, Matt, that there are probably more people in our country illegally who are violating visas that allow them to come into the country than are those that actually physically run across the Mexican border?
No, it's probably about 40%, 60%. So about 40% of the folks here illegally are visa overstay folks, and then 60% of the ones that are coming across the border. And so it's not quite 50-50, but it's about 40-60.
Okay. And yet, you know, and I guess both parties share a bit of blame. Down through the years, let's be honest, we can go back, I guess we can go back all the way to whenever, where we've allowed, and kind of with a wink and a nod, we've allowed people to cross over the border. They didn't used to do it in the huge numbers. It's like we allowed them to get away with it when there weren't too many coming across. But now with the turmoil in Mexico, especially near the border, the drug running and everything else,
right,
it seems like we're just getting hordes of them coming over. And all of a sudden, you know, the little hole in our border has become a gaping canyon with people pouring over. And now we go, oh, you know what? We've been ignoring this rule for so long. Maybe now we better start enforcing the law.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I had a book come out just about a year ago, and Chapter 8 is dedicated to the immigration, and I talk about the history of it and how for so many decades we actually did ignore or exempt Mexico from any immigration rules because, frankly, big business loved it. I mean, they were getting cheap labor coming across, and so everyone kind of looked the other way. We had the Braceros program that the unions killed in the 60s. And then essentially it was, oh, okay, let's just do nothing. And then what, of course, as you said, happened, you had a huge number once our economy kicked up and Mexico stayed third world nearly. You know, people said, hey, we can go make a lot more money over there. And so, you know, the supply-demand curve happened and people came where there was a demand and we have a ready supply. They could make great money. And so we now have a huge problem. And with it now has come, of course, the increased drug trade. MS-13 is now all over the country. So there's a higher degree of concern. And then after 9/11, you now have the ability of Al-Qaeda to slip through. And God forbid they do so with any type of nuke package.
We're talking again with Matt Mayer. He is resident fellow at the Great Heritage Foundation in Washington and an expert on homeland security. And, you know, the crazy thing is that here in our country, we are in many ways trying to stifle what Arizona seems to try to be doing that the federal government has been lacking at. I'm looking at a story here that says there is an injunction request. It's coming from the ACLU and a handful of civil rights groups challenging the Arizona law. They want to delay it. I believe it's supposed to take effect next month.
Yeah.
And they want to stop it. And, of course, the longer that it's delayed from being enforced, I guess, the more people we will have pouring in. But in this, I guess it's a 44-page filing, they call the law an unprecedented attempt by a single state to regulate immigration and a brazen and improper usurpation of the federal government's constitutional role in immigration regulation. Go ahead. I know you're dying to say something about that.
Well, let me make two quick points on that. One, it's just historically false. I mean, if you go back 100 years, states had lots of laws on their books actually regulating immigration in a way, frankly, that even I would say was probably not constitutional back then. They were doing things that were specifically more federal rules, but that's the way it happened, and nobody cared. But more importantly, if you were to take the position of the ACLU and La Raza and all these left-wing groups that are pro-legal immigrant, what you would essentially say is, okay, if the federal government fails to secure the border, if the federal government does not do interior enforcement, that mayors and governors are utterly powerless to deal with a half a million illegal immigrants in their city and their state because, well, there's no role for them unless the federal government graciously comes in and does its job. That is an absurd statement. It has no basis in the Constitution that was ratified in 1787. The reality is, as the Supreme Court has found, that states held before and after ratification their inherent police powers over their own jurisdictions. So this idea that somehow a mayor or governor just goes, well, sorry, federal government's not doing anything, I can't do anything because the Constitution says I have no power to deal with people within my own jurisdictions unless they break a local or state law, is just poppycock. There's no basis for that constitutionally.
Okay, so that means that border states do have the right to build a fence, right? And they don't have to wait for the federal government's okay?
Well, that gets into a little bit stickier situation, right? Because that gets into what is expressly in the Constitution in terms of securing the border. And that raises some different issues, but you know, I'm more focused now on this actual Arizona law, which is dealing with the interior element. Once they're across that border, what can states do? And there's just no basis that states are powerless. And in fact, you know, the ACLU, along with the Chamber of Commerce, which is you love though when the bedfellows become so different like that,
right,
challenged Arizona's employer regulation that was put up a few years back. Took that, have now gotten that up to the Supreme Court, but even the Ninth Circuit, the most liberal circuit in America, found that Arizona's employment law was absolutely constitutional. So they're going to continue to put roadblocks in the front of state and local action on this stuff because they know that if this stuff happens, we're going to see a curtailing of illegal immigration. It's going to happen. If you make it hard to get a job and hard to stay, you will deal with the supply and demand curve appropriately.
Again, we're talking with Matt Mayer, a resident fellow at the Heritage Foundation and an expert on homeland security. He's written about it. Matt, but here is, I guess, where it gets a little confusing. The federal government is the one that has the right to put up the fence. Arizona does not necessarily have the right. But once the illegal immigrants cross over into their territory, then Arizona has the right to do something with these people, ship them back or whatever they want to do. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what I'm saying is once they are across that border and they are now in a city or a state, a mayor and governor have absolute authority to deal with that problem. And what they can, you know, they can find those folks, they can hand them over to ICE, and ICE then has the responsibility to deport them. It's that simple. I mean, can they just walk around saying, hey, are you an illegal? That's probably pushing the boundaries of it because, you have to kind of figure out, well, what's the constitutional way of doing this, which I think Arizona has done, especially because they make it all based upon an existing stop that then raises suspicions to say, hey, can I see some ID? And if you don't have some, then that creates the issues. But it is crazy to think that a mayor governor has no power to deal with somebody who's there illegally but is not breaking any other law other than being there illegally, because that's a federal law, right? The idea that they can't do anything is just crazy. It makes no sense constitutionally. There's no support for that.
So you think that this law is going to hold up under judicial examination?
I do. I absolutely do. You bet.
Okay. So now, do you think this is going to force the Obama administration's hand to go down there and actually set up blocks along the border of not only Arizona, but Texas and California and other areas? Do you think that this is going to force them, provoke them to start enforcing the border? Or do you think we're just going to have this, delay in doing something about it? I mean, we've got the November elections coming up. I think these legislators probably that live in these border states worried sick that if they're not perceived as doing something to protect the borders, that their jobs are in jeopardy.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see what we have seen in the last 18 months with the Obama administration, which is they'll say they are doing something, and then they will do very little of that. Look, they see this thing as a political advantage. Their view is that the conservative slash Republican libertarian perspective is going to alienate the Hispanic voting community for decades by the actions taken, and so that they have a huge windfall here to grab these voters for the decades, as they did in the post civil rights era with the African American vote. I don't think that that's actually true. If you look at some of these, how the percentages that these laws are passing in places like Arizona are including large numbers of American Hispanic citizens.
Legal Hispanics, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Who know darn well, hey, wait, I'm a first or second generation immigrant. These illegal folks, they're taking the jobs from me before they're taking the jobs from anybody else. They know darn well that if we don't get a handle on illegal immigration, it's going to undermine their climb on the American dream, that ladder of economic, you know, enhancement. So that's why they support these laws too. So I'm not sure this plays out the way they think it does, but they are convinced that this is a political win for them, so that they're going to do what they think they need to do to secure, quote unquote, that vote for the decades to come, kind of thing.
Yeah, it would be very interesting if it would be at all possible to take an honest survey of legal Hispanic voters.
Well, they just did over the weekend. And it's what's interesting is the headline of the article was, you know, Hispanics. I can't remember what it was, but it's something like, you know, Hispanic vote, you know, turning away from something or other. And when you actually read the article, it was nothing like the headline. The reality is the Hispanic view on these issues is the exact same view as, frankly, anybody else. And this happened in 2008 as well. We all heard about, oh, the Hispanic vote turned against the, and they turned against Republicans in the same percentage that everybody else turned against Republicans,
right,
including conservatives. So they blow up this alleged loss, but I don't see it happening when you actually peel back and read through these articles. You look at the actual vote cross tabs. You don't see this peeling away issue. They're doing the same thing that any other voting group is doing, whether it's anti-incumbent, anti-Republican, whatever it might be at that time. But it's not like they're doing anything differently than any other voter segment.
Sure. I know here in Florida, for instance, we have a high Cuban population, especially around Tampa Bay. And they tend to be very conservative.
You bet.
They tend to be, quite frankly, most of the time, they tend to be Republican. Now, a lot of it has to do with Cuba.
And Jimmy Carter, yeah.
Yeah, and all of that, certainly. But I guess the Hispanic organizations are sort of boiling the kettle a little bit. Groups like La Raza, mm-hmm. and there are certain Hispanic legislators. There's a gentleman, Luis Gutierrez, in Chicago, who's aligned to some extent with some of the people in the Obama administration.
Well, Loretta Sanchez in California, you know, said essentially a bunch of these are, you know, people who do this are racist. That this was actually, this whole law
right.
came about by the push by white supremacists, which is just, again,
nonsensical.
More utter poppycock.
Sure it is. But these people are considered leaders in the Hispanic community. Most of these leaders do seem to be supporting those that are against the Arizona law, right?
They tend to, yeah. But again, these are folks that they owe their constituency, and their constituency isn't the community, isn't the American people, isn't frankly Hispanic. Their constituency are the interest groups that are funding their campaigns, which tend to be La Raza and the ACLU and unions. I mean, whatever it might
okay.
be. So they're not voting, and they're not supporting the position of their constituents. They're mm-hmm. they're doing identity politics. They're doing interest group politics, but they're not representing the interest of their community members, who they were, again, the people that are most disrupted by illegal labor are first-generation immigrants.
Matt, is there a real threat with our southern border being an entry point for terrorists?
Oh, of course. I mean, if you think about it, let me just give you walk you through a quick scenario, right? You have daily flights that are coming from Tehran to Caracas, okay, on the Iranian air. You have a plane come across with nuclear material that comes into Caracas. You essentially drive it up the American highway and then into the border area of Mexico, and you just cross right over. I mean, that is not an unrealistic scenario to get nuclear material across our border into this country in a very easy way, because you can get it from the source, Iran, to Venezuela, another enemy, and then simply right up the highway. So this is not come on, is that really going to happen? It could happen, and it could happen a lot more easily than putting something into our ports or possibly putting something on an airplane coming into the U.S. Just doing it that way, you want to talk about an easy way to just carry a suitcase nuke across the border. Well, that's one.
Yeah. You know, just taking a quick look at it from the other perspective, and I've said this on our program before, it seems like the waiting period for someone that is trying to legally come into our country, especially from Mexico, is years.
It's too long.
Too long. Is
too
there,
long.
Mm-hmm. So is there any way that we can speed up the legal immigration process so that perhaps we cut down on the illegal process?
Yeah, I mean, this is what I talk about in my book and in my work for Heritage is it's a three-legged stool. We've got to secure the border, you've got to enforce our laws in the interior parts of the country, and we've got to reform our visa system so that people who want to come here legally have a way to get here when we want them to come here. And again, as long as they're not taking jobs from Americans, immigration has been a backbone of our country for 200 years, right? We are all fundamentally, unless you're a Native American, an immigrant to this country or the descendant of an immigrant. And it is what makes this country great is people who want to come here. So we want the world's best and brightest to come here, who the risk takers, those who want to work hard and become Americans. That is something we've got to fix so that we make it easier for that to occur. At the same time, though, we need to make sure that we are not creating disincentives for those folks by saying, look, we're going to reward folks who just come here illegally and who don't do that. And so that's the challenge we have, which is why if we do any type of amnesty or amnesty light, we're simply undermining our legal routes. We're undermining and sending the wrong message to those who have waited patiently. And that's why we've got to fix that visa system to make it easier for folks to come here legally.
Well, Matt, I want to thank you so much. I really appreciate your thoughts and coming on this morning and talking with us about this whole situation. People want to find out perhaps more about yourself, what you're doing, and the Heritage Foundation. What should they do?
Just go to www.heritage.org, and then you can look for our work on. We have issue buttons that you can look for immigration issues, or you can look for my name and all the papers I've written on the issue there as well.
Well, Matt Mayer, thank you so very much for taking time this morning, and again, best to you. And I know we'll possibly be talking with you down the road.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right, Matt. Matt Mayer from the Heritage Foundation. We'll take a short break, my friends. Lots more to talk about, including what's going to happen to Helen Thomas. We'll be back.
Oh, and I'm the type of guy who will never settle down. Where pretty girls are, well, you know that I'm around.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. June 7th, 2010. Gold opened this morning at $12.1480. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $12.4726, $6.2363 for a half ounce, or $3.1181 for the quarter ounce. That's $12.4726, $6.2363, and $3.1181.
Making the right decision is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or worse, depression? Many investors are turning to gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold. Discussing costs, benefits, risks, the book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold can be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, this book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Hey, we're glad you're listening to Freedom Works. And if you like what you're hearing, there's something you can do to help keep us on the air. You can visit our website at thefreedomworks.com and make a contribution, anything from $20 on up, and it'll go directly to our program and our efforts to get out the libertarian message of less government in our lives and more personal freedom and responsibility. And while you're there at the website, you can find out more about libertarianism. You can also take a very short quiz to see where you fit in on the political spectrum. And you can find out more about people that have stood for libertarian principles like Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand. But please consider backing our show with a contribution. We even make it easy for you with a credit or debit card. And once again, that's thefreedomworks.com. And by the way, thanks for listening.
Money. It's the one thing everybody can't ever seem to have enough of. This Friday, Your Money professors Mike Van Hornbeck and Christian Beider from J.W. Cole Financial and Jonathan Roberts Advisory Group will explore the important financial issues and challenges that we all face daily. And of course, Your Money questions and comments are also welcome. Your Money professors, enlightened financial sense in a senseless world. Fridays at 11 Eastern on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Tampa Bay's Tantalk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for joining us this morning. And boy, Israel, big news, isn't it? First of all, Israeli naval forces have shot and killed four men wearing wetsuits in the waters off the coast of Gaza today. And a militant group said that they were members of its Marine unit training for a mission. Now, this is the latest escalation in tensions over the three-year-old blockade of Gaza. It comes a week after that raid by Israel of that Gaza-bound flotilla, allegedly carrying humanitarian supplies and hundreds of activists protesting the closure of the Palestinian territory. Nine activists were killed in that clash on one of the flotilla boats. And what is troubling is, Chris Wallace of Fox News said was true during his show, he was interviewing the ambassador to the United States, or the U.S. ambassador to Israel, I should say. And he said that were reports that one of those people on the flotilla died from like four gunshot wounds to the head and to the chest at close range. Now, it would seem to me that that's more than defending yourself. That sounds like outright homicide, if it's true. And I think Israel right now is in a very bad public relations spot, to say the least. This morning, Joe Biden said that the U.S. is closely consulting with Egypt and other allies to find other ways to address this flotilla blockade situation and ways of getting supplies to people in Gaza. They are being cut off from a lot of supplies that they need. But the question is whether or not Israel has the right to form a blockade. They have done so with the help of Egypt. And the problem is that the Hamas group is clearly an organization that will think nothing of lofting bombs towards Israel and killing people. So, you know, you've got a very ticklish situation. So add Helen Thomas to the mix. Longtime White House correspondent Helen Thomas. Now, this video that you may have seen of her actually goes back a little while, but they found it. It was circulated widely on Friday. And she's on there. She's not talking in her guise as a White House correspondent. I think it was almost, you might call it one of those ambushed journalism kind of things. Anyway, she said the Jews should, quote, get the hell out of Palestine, unquote. Excuse me for laughing. And go back to Poland and Germany and America and wherever else they came from. Now, I want to make a comment. I know Big Ed wants to make a comment. We're going to, oh, no, I'm sorry.
I didn't know if you wanted me to play the clip.
Oh, I'm sorry, Big Ed, you do have the clip. Yeah, thank you. Let's play the clip. This is Helen Thomas. And
any comments on Israel? We're asking everybody today. Any comments?
Tell them
on
to
Israel?
Get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments?
Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land, not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
You think Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
Yeah, that's Helen Thomas. Nobody can accuse Helen Thomas of not saying what she's thinking, speaking what's on her mind. In a way, at least from that standpoint, she's always been that way. You cannot be surprised. Now, Helen Thomas, I believe, is Lebanese. So I suspect that a lot of people would say, well, they, you know, she has an agenda. But a lot of people that are perceived as liberal in this country, quite frankly, have been questioning whether or not Israel is an occupier. And wanted to make a comment about the fact that there are really the Semitic Jews and the non-Semitic Jews. The Semitic Jews lived in that area. They've been living there for centuries. They have every right to live there, every right in the world. Non-Semitic Jews, Jews that indeed did come from other countries. Remember the Exodus, the movie Exodus? That was the story of the ship that carried all of those Jewish people to Israel back when, about 1946 or 47. The State of Israel, let's see, actually was created in 1948, if memory, not memory, but if history serves me right, right after World War II. They actually drew out a section of what at that time was called Palestine. It included Jerusalem. Now, the Semitic Jews were already there, and then the entry of the Jews, most of them, I guess, European Jews, that came over after World War II. So you got to kind of keep that in mind as well. Now, you had a lot of Palestinians that have, you know, been living there forever as well, and all of a sudden they are pushed out. And this arbitrary line is set up. And, you know, that's the way history is. Let's be honest. What did we do when we came over from Europe ourselves with the Indians here already? And what did the Indians do when they came from wherever they might have come? I mean, this history is a migration. It's a history of people migrating, moving from one place to another, especially our history. And I don't know how we can say that people don't have a right. This is a planet. We're all on the planet. I don't think God set up borders, did he? He might have set up natural borders, but he didn't want to keep one group out and another group in. As I think I heard somebody say at one point, God takes no favoritism when it comes to real estate. He doesn't favor one group over another. But the problem is that when you include a sense of religion and all of the other things, we've got people killing each other. And I've always thought that the bottom line is if you start killing each other, then something isn't working right, and then you got to think of an alternative. And unfortunately, over the centuries, or at least over the last 60 years, with the creation of Israel, we've had people, innocent people on both sides that are dying and bombs that are being tossed, all in the name of this is my territory. Well, something doesn't smell right about that. And I guess one of the solutions, as much as people don't want to hear it, that are pro-Israeli, is that maybe there should be a consideration of the rights of the Palestinians and different alternatives. But you're not politically correct if you go on with that too much. And I just think there got to be a way to figure out how to stop people killing each other over there. It's just a little plot of land. God, more people have indeed died in the name of religion than anything else. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. Lots more to talk about, including the White House and all of its deal making. What's going on there? We'll be right back.
I see your teeth flash.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The Rays on the radio.
This is the Rays Report with Rich Herrera.
On Sunday, the Rays finished up looking to go 500 after dropping the first two of the Texas Rangers. They said enough is enough. Hey, somebody break out the long ball.
Not going to the pitch, given in the air towards deep right field. Back goes David Murphy to the warning track. He's at the wall, and it is gone. Home run. A two-run homer for John Jaso, and right away, the Rays are in front 2-1.
John Jaso's solo shot in the third inning gets the Rays on the scoreboard. Carlos Peña says, you know what? I can hit one of those, too.
Swing a line drive into right field. Back a few steps goes David Murphy. Back to the warning track of the wall. Gone! Home run, Carlos Peña. Line drive home run that just sneaked over the wall. And the Rays lead is 3-1.
And the Rays beat the Texas Rangers 9-5. Rays have today off. Back in action tomorrow. They'll start a three-game set with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Catch the Rays all season long on the Rays Radio Network. For tickets, log on to RaysBaseball.com.
Rays Baseball on WDCF 1350.
Hey, we're glad you're listening to Freedom Works. And if you like what you're hearing, there's something you can do to help keep us on the air. You can visit our website at thefreedomworks.com and make a contribution, anything from $20 on up, and it'll go directly to our program and our efforts to get out the libertarian message of less government in our lives and more personal freedom and responsibility. And while you're there at the website, you can find out more about libertarianism. You can also take a very short quiz to see where you fit in on the political spectrum, and you can find out more about people that have stood for libertarian principles like Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand. But please consider backing our show with a contribution. We even make it easy for you with a credit or debit card. And once again, that's thefreedomworks.com. And by the way, thanks for listening.
Attention, Tampa Bay Auto Sales and Service Professionals. Here's your chance to get the word out direct to your customers. The Deals on Wheels radio program broadcasts here on Tantalk 1340 AM, Fridays noon to 1 p.m. Get the word out prime airtime, the day before your high-volume weekend. Prime airtime is still available for you, so give your host, Mark, a call at 727-424-1216 and reserve time now. Again, that's Mark at 727-424-1216. Come on in and let's make some Deals on Wheels.
Tampa Bay's Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. Hey, thank you for being with us. We really appreciate it. Well, amidst all of the trouble with Israel and the immigration law in Arizona and the oil washing up on the beaches in the Gulf, we got this ongoing situation with the Obama administration and jobs for dropping out of politics and political races. And rebuffed before, Republicans are now renewing demands for an investigation by the Justice Department into the White House deal making in two Senate races. Now, the Obama administration says it's broken no laws, but Republicans are turning up the heat. The national chairman of the GOP, Michael Steele, used his weekly radio address and internet address to turn up the heat by urging appointment of a special investigator or an independent counsel, quote, who can sort out the facts, unquote. Now, the two races are in Pennsylvania and in Colorado. Senatorial candidates Joe Sestak in Pennsylvania and Andrew Romanoff in Colorado, and whether they were approached by the Obama administration and asked to drop out of the race. Both of them decided to declined to step aside in the races. They were both challenging White House-backed incumbents. Now, the White House says sometimes it's necessary to ask people to drop out to avoid messy primary fights. Well, I guess it's okay to ask them. It's not necessarily okay to dangle another job in front of them if they do. Now, the Attorney General, Eric Holder, has rejected any request by the Republicans for an investigation. Why are we not surprised? Can you investigate yourself? I don't think so. And we talked about this last week. With the advent of media like Fox News, it's becoming harder and harder, especially for Democrats, to sweep things under the rug quite as easily. The mainstream media used to be somewhat protective of the Democrats as opposed to the Republicans. So we had the ongoing situation with Valerie Plame, the CIA operative, and who outed her in the Bush administration. That thing was ongoing, right? You were seeing stories about that all the time and the outrage coming from Democrats. Well, now, she was sort of on the other foot with the Obama administration and their so-called Chicago-style politics, and this won't go away. Now, the White House has acknowledged that it used former President Bill Clinton to sit down with Joe Sestak and ask him to drop out of the race, supposedly to accept an unpaid presidential advisory post. You know what? That doesn't pass the smell test as far as I'm concerned. Can you imagine telling a guy that knows he has a shot to become a senator to drop out because we'll give you an unpaid presidential advisory post? How about that? I don't think so. And they were talking at the time that Sestak was actually being offered a job as Secretary of the Navy. That's a paid situation and a heck of a lot bigger than an unpaid presidential advisory post. So anyway, then you've got Andrew Romanoff, a former Colorado House Speaker. He's approached and asked to drop out of the race because they didn't want him to challenge incumbent Senator Michael Bennett in the August 10th primary over there. Bennett is very vulnerable. So it's clearly a violation to offer a job to a person to drop out of a race. There is no question about it. It's done. It's done all the time. And Republicans do it as much as Democrats. But they're not as blatant, apparently, as what is going on now, and especially with the Obama administration making it a hallmark of their administration to run an open ship. Well, it's not so open, not so transparent. Well, the Tea Partiers are actually having a huge effect in these upcoming November elections, a massive influx of cash from Tea Party supporters has vaulted Tea Party favorite Sharon Angle to the top of the Senate primary race in Nevada. Now, she is running against a bunch of other Republicans, and the winner will go up against Harry Reid. Massive influx of cash from Tea Party supporters. Las Vegas Review-Journal poll conducted by Mason Dixon puts Angle at 32%. Another GOP candidate, Danny Tarkanian, Las Vegas businessman and son of Jerry Tarkanian, the basketball coach, he's at 24%, so he's 8% back. And then former state senator Sue Loudon is at 23%. Now, all of them so far, when posted up against incumbent Democratic Senator Harry Reid, apparently would win. Reid is in deep trouble. But here is a story that says in this year of strange political bedfellows, the Tea Party and what it's doing may save Harry Reid, because all three Republicans vying to win that Republican nomination consider themselves Tea Partiers. And therein rests a potential problem for the GOP. The late momentum going into Tuesday's primary, tomorrow's primary, Sharon Angle, she's got it. She's sought to claim Tea Party enthusiasm by endorsing a phasing out of Social Security and a shuttering of the Department of Education. I tell you what, I'd vote for her right now just by reading that. But in a general election, that would scare a lot of people, right? So let's say she wins with the help of the Tea Partiers, and she's talking about Social Security and phasing it out and shuttering the Department of Education. All of a sudden, a lot of people in the middle would get scared, and this may play to Harry Reid's favor. Anyway, it's going to be very interesting, and that primary apparently is tomorrow. And Harry Reid is going to be waiting for whoever survives. Well, I tell you what, we really appreciate your being with us today, and hope you have a wonderful Monday. We'll be back at you tomorrow on Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Stay tuned for what's going on here on the Tantalk Network coming up. Meantime, bye for now.